The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
So near yet so far for Rory McIlroy, another win for Arsenal in the Premier League and much more besides, Piastri taking the Azerbaijani Grand Prix. So lots to talk about with Nathan Murphy, broadcaster from Off the Ball. Nathan, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
So let's talk about the Irish Open first of all. And the last few holes again.
Incredibly disappointing for Rory McIlroy, and it's just one thing on top of the other at the moment for McIlroy. And he looks like that, and I think he feels the golfing gods are against them since that US Open and the missed putt on 18. That should really have been the end of that decade-long drought without a major. He then gets himself into contention at the Olympics for a medal, and he dunks one in the water. And then yesterday, at a tournament that means a huge amount to McIlroy, Royal County Down is it's not his home club, that's Hollywood Golf Club, but he's probably played that course as much as any golf course in the world. Took it really seriously this week. I was up there last Monday and he was at the course at 7 a.m. Monday morning getting some practice in.
Yeah.
He was still at the range late on Wednesday night. So he desperately, desperately wanted to win this to, I think, just spark a bit of life back into his season again. And yesterday was strange in that he didn't miss any shots, but he didn't hole any putts. He didn't make too many errors as he went around, but the putt on 17, the first putt that he pushed 10 feet past.
Then you have to come back.
And then you have to come back and he's allowed Rasmus Højgaard come from sort of nowhere at that stage, went on this incredible run at the end with three straight birdies. And next thing, McIlroy finds himself standing on the 18th tee needing an eagle, hits a brilliant drive, wonderful approach, 16 feet, and just pushes it an inch to the right and misses out by a single shot.
So near, yes, so far. Now, drama, I suppose, for Leona Maguire in the Solheim Cup, but maybe not on course.
Europe were beaten in the Solheim Cup by the USA. Leona Maguire has been an absolute superstar at the last two Solheim Cups. She's played every single match, all 10. You'll remember the last time it was in America 3 years ago, she was the undoubted star. It was her and Nelly Korda, who's the world number one, and she just keep beating Korda again and again. Now, Leona Maguire's form hasn't been outstanding coming into this, but still, the fact that her Solheim Cup record was so impressive, you assumed that she would be a real figurehead from this team. She was left out on Friday morning. She played on Friday afternoon, was beaten, but Europe were in a bad place at that stage, and then was left out completely on Saturday, but came back yesterday, won her singles. At one stage, it looked as though Europe might mount a fight back. Didn't quite happen, but there's been a little bit of a back and forth since as to what happened, and Leona Maguire showing that there's different ways to skin a cat, that maybe the team captain, Suzanne Pedersen, thought she wasn't long enough for the course and things like that. There's a lot of talk of maybe things that were said in press conferences, that maybe the two personalities clash. I'm sure it'll all come out in the wash, but such a shame for Irish golf and for Leona Maguire that she didn't have such an important role in that team again.
Now, let's talk about the Premier League. A couple of interesting results. I mean, my interest in Manchester United, what was it, 3-0 against Southampton?
3-0.
What does that tell you? Maybe not a lot.
Well, it was a needed victory for Erik ten Hag after what happened in the last game against Liverpool before the international break, so at least eases a little bit of the pressure. But now they need to back it up. Now they need to show some consistency. Yesterday we had a North London derby, an incredibly tight, tense, physical game. Arsenal beat Tottenham by 1-0. Gabriel with a goal from a set piece, which has been the Achilles heel for Tottenham since Ange Postecoglou came through. But Arsenal won that game yesterday without Declan Rice, without Martin Odegaard, without Mikel Merino, probably what will be their first choice midfield, and sort of ground it out. So you need to keep doing this because Manchester City and Erling Haaland aren't going anywhere. Two more goals. That's 9 goals in 4 games for Erling Haaland.
However, they may face the legal music today.
So it all starts today. 115 charges, secret location for the start of the case. They reckon it'll go on for somewhere up to 3 months, and then God knows when we will get the result. To be honest, nobody seems to know what the likely outcome is in terms of...
But even if they are fined something or if they have to sacrifice points for previous seasons, which would have stripped the titles from them and the money... How do you kind of untangle all of that?
I think Liverpool fans, Manchester United fans might say, yes, we'd want those titles back, but it won't mean anything like it would have if you'd won it at the time. The most likely scenario, if they were to lose this, is that they get deducted points this season. So is it just a one-hit wonder and they...
Yeah.
Or is the penalty so severe they end up getting relegated down a division as well? So there's a lot of different things. Manchester City, the investment they put in the football side, they're putting into the legal side for this. They are, whatever it takes to make sure that they win this case, they're going to do.
And I think they kind of said, well, whatever, we will face the music, we'll accept whatever is handed down. But they don't expect to get a negative result. That's the truth of it.
No, but considering the amount of charges and the amount of work that has gone in on the other side, on the Premier League side of things, you'd have to expect that they've got a fairly rock-solid case.
Hmm. Now, Liverpool faltered.
They did, beaten at home, and Liverpool were beaten once at home last season, once at home the season before that, and already this, their second home game, they lost to Nottingham Forest. And the worry would be that Liverpool would play a lot of teams like this. Forest sat very, very deep, a low block, and then just got them on the counter-attack. And Liverpool really struggled to find a way through, didn't create a lot of chances. Just chatting to Alan Quinlan, who was over at the game, the atmosphere very flat, which was also something that was said at Brentford, that it's a different style of play. It's not rock and roll football like it was under Jurgen Klopp. And again, you're just looking at everything in the context of Manchester City.
Yeah.
That you lose a game early, it's so hard to get back.
To make it up, because they're
just
not
so
going
relentless.
They're not going to falter.
City against Arsenal next Sunday.
Okay. Now, domestically, there are problems for Dundalk.
Huge problems. The very future of the football club is under threat. The next 24, 48 hours are going to be crucial, whether they can find a buyer by some investment. It looked last week as if they may go into examinership, which may give them a bit of a stay of execution. It would mean that they would be relegated, which they may well be anyways. They're bottom of the table. But remember, Dundalk have been the dominant team of the last 10 years under Stephen Kenny. Two runs in Europe. All of the money that came there has really just disappeared in ways, because there's been no great investment to the grounds, to the stadium. Obviously, the playing staff isn't what you would expect it to be. But even still, for the people who are working at the club, who are, you know, facing very difficult times.
And is the axe likely to fall today?
Possibly today, if they don't get something in by 5 o'clock this evening. The speculation is that the club may go out of business over the next couple of days. And obviously, there's a huge sporting side then as to the effect on the League of Ireland, because right now, Shelburne are clear at the top. If all Dundalk's results are cancelled, suddenly Derry City are going to be top of the league. Shamrock Rovers are back in it, because Shelburne have played Dundalk four times and got 10 points from those four games. Suddenly that's going to disappear. So, you're into asterisk territory.
That's bizarre that you actually earn the points. You work hard, you earn the points, and everyone has a go at the same club. So the same thing. And yet, if they're out of it, they're out of it.
Everything is cancelled. They'll just get rid of all their results, because there was talk you give everybody a 3-0 win, but actually if you just get rid of all of the results, because they've played Dundalk different amount of times, so yeah, it's going to be a complete
now,
mess.
Now, what are we to glean from the FAI suspension of the Emerging Talent Programme? First of all, what is it?
Well, the Emerging Talent Programme is basically for sort of 12 to 15, 16 year olds to get the best young players together all around the country so that standards rise, and it's been a sort of key part of FAI underage structure for decades at this stage. I think what you're to take from it is another stark reminder that the FAI are in huge financial difficulty. The debt is still there, 43 million. They've obviously been making a very, very strong case to government in recent months that they need investment at underage structures. Now, that at the moment is sort of being funneled through the League of Ireland clubs and trying to build academy structures there. They want to double their funding at the moment. It's about 5 million a year to 10 million a year. And listen, we're seeing the effects of this on the senior international team and the lack of players.
Sure, but also, I mean, emerging talent, we need to have our own and not be depending on the Grealishes and the Rices, who will take what they can from Ireland as youth.
There's a place for both. We'll always take the second generation players who will come back, and you hope you find a situation where a lot of them will stay. And again, that Ireland team that played last week, there were several players who were born in England and who came across. But we need, because of Brexit and not being able to export our players at 14, 15, 16, we need to invest in our own underage structures. But the FAI are in just such a huge financial black hole at the moment that they need to get government funding quickly. And even then, it feels like you're just running to stand still, because every other country is investing hugely in their underage structure as well.
Now, finally, I suppose we should look at the Azerbaijani Grand Prix. Now, it's an extraordinary circuit. When you see the close-ups and how tightly they come to the wall as they go around the street circuit, it's terrifying.
That's what they get into, though, isn't it? They love it.
Yeah.
They love it. It's been a strange Formula One season in that Max Verstappen has just gone completely out of the picture over the last few months. So this is now, what, 7 races in a row? Verstappen hasn't won any of them.
It's not that you can lose concentration, because you won't stay alive if you lose concentration.
That's true, but they're having problems with the car. He obviously doesn't look particularly happy at the moment. But what's been in his favour is, well, firstly, how well he started the season and was able to build up a lead. But there's no consistency. There's no one main rival at the moment. And the victories have sort of been spread around the place. And we saw yesterday it was Oscar Piastri who won for the second time in five races. And Lando Norris wasn't able to capitalise. He finished just ahead of Verstappen. So Verstappen
was way back on the grid. So
Verstappen still has a lead up on almost 60 points. So still a very, very strong favourite to go and win this entire thing. But it's actually turned into one of the most exciting Formula One seasons in a long time. Everyone's been waiting since Abu Dhabi, but we went straight from that into total Verstappen dominance, where even though if you were to look from the outside, think, well, Verstappen is still completely dominant. It's been anything but, and it's just been drama week on week. So you would hope that maybe we get a race over the next couple where Norris
wins. Ferrari are very competitive and McLaren are very competitive. So
you're enjoying it.
Well, I'm enjoying it more than I did last year, that's for sure.
Well, Verstappen's dominance, I think.
Watching Hamilton, and he's going to Ferrari next year, and what that's going to do to, you know, whether it'll imbue him with a renewed confidence and energy, I don't know. All to play for next year.
Yeah, and maybe all to play for still this year. There's still seven races left. So if Norris could just win one and something to happen Verstappen in one of them, then we could get that grandstand finale again.
Nathan Murphy, broadcaster from Off the Ball. Nathan, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.